plate a potential nugget.
I also like the point you make in the book about decoupling a quitting decision and a joining decision. And again, as a prior search consultant, often we'd play at the intersection of these two decisions. Talk to us a little bit about the nuance here.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I must say that this has been one of the my insights from my own life, where I felt that at least one decision I made poorly because I made a quit decision because I got something which looked attractive. Yeah. And I should have never quit that place in the first place. Yeah. And again, in my HR times, I've seen many, many, many people quit because they think they've got something better. Right. But there are no reason to quit. Right. And somehow I kept asking, why is this happening? Right. And that's when I realized that people are coupling these two decisions. And the trigger to quit was actually coming in the form of an opportunity. Right. And I said, that's where a lot of mistakes happen. And that's where people kind of go wrong in their careers. And hence the recommendation I have is decouple these two decisions. You must first know whether you have a reason to quit. And the reason to quit cannot be that I found something else. Because that journey is a never-ending journey. There also you'll find something else and you'll find something else. So you must know, do you have a reason to quit? And the way I like to think about the reasons to quit is, I think there are only two reasons you should quit. One is either your learning is tapering off and you're stagnating in your learning. Or you're experiencing an issue of fit, which could be culture or values or chemistry or whatever it is. Yeah. These are the only two reasons you should quit. Everything else, promotion, salary, career, all that is secondary. Because if you're driving learning, all that follows. Yeah. So you must first find out if you genuinely have a reason to quit, which is learning and fit. Once you conclude there is a reason to quit, then you can figure out all the join opportunities. But if you start the other way around and you end up saying, oh, I have got an opportunity, but I don't have a reason to quit, then you end up making mistakes.
Let me dig into this a little bit. As a search consultant, clients would often say, don't give us candidates who are job seekers. Give us candidates who are doing well, but want a bigger canvas. So probably there is if we persist with this, assume you're doing well in your role. But often there are opportunities which are bigger and maybe it's just a timing that it's a bigger canvas or a better culture or whatever. So how, you know, in those situations, it's not to say that you're dissatisfied at the current place, but there's an opportunity for a bigger play. So how do you distinguish that kind of a situation from what you just outlined, which is leaving for the wrong reasons?
Yeah. And I think my answer to that question is you get to that bigger play and then you get another bigger play after that. And then another bigger play after that. Are you going to say yes to each bigger play that comes your way? Yeah. I think we all celebrate the successes that a few people seem to have got by getting to bigger place. For every one success, I have seen three failures. Where people have gone to what on paper looks bigger, but their career hasn't necessarily moved in the right direction after that. And they would have been actually better off if they had stayed. Yeah. So I think the question is again, what drives careers? Is it position or is it your capability? The key mindset I bring is to say what drives career is your capability. And if you are in a place where your learning is very rapid, your career is a given. Even if you say no to something which looks attractive right now, your career is a given because your learning is growing at such a pace. And this is a marketplace that takes care of people who learn. It's a very simple mindset.
That's a great insight. And again, for somebody who's in that maze, going through that career, how do you objectively determine if you're going through a learning cycle? Sometimes, you know, learning happens and you don't realize till you step away from it. Yeah. Is there an insight into people recognizing the pace of learning or the quantum of learning that they're going through?
Yeah. I think I would possibly give an analogy of sports. You know, to say sometimes, you know, a player is in a zone, you know, and is kind of effortlessly doing stuff. and is also enjoying themselves. I would think your learning would be very high when you're in a zone in whatever you're doing at work. And if you're feeling that way, you're possibly in a fantastic learning cycle. Yeah. And I wouldn't give that up for anything.
And in the book, Molly, you talk about the specific transition from Asian Paints to GE Countrywide. And you talk about that. That's a transition that you shouldn't have made. So why do you say that? And what's the thinking behind that conclusion?
Yeah. And that mistake I made was actually the inspiration for me to write the chapter on quit and join. To say, how does one segregate the decision to quit and the decision to join? And I made the decision to quit from Asian Paints without having sound reasons to quit. I made the decision to quit because I thought something else was more attractive. Yeah. And then I realized that I was actually in a major learning cycle in Asian Paints. I was in an absolute zone. I was contributing effortlessly. I was learning. I was getting to do new stuff. But I gave all that up because I thought something else was more attractive. Yeah. And I think knowing when you are in a learning zone, knowing where you have a company, where you have a high fit. Yeah. And these are important parameters in managing your career. And that was, I think, the mistake I made. And it inspired me to write the chapter.
And actually, the related question there is, I guess there is a structural asymmetry to evaluating a new opportunity. You clearly know a lot more about where you are than where you possibly headed. So what's the takeaway in terms of how you evaluate a new opportunity, both from a fit standpoint and a potential learning cycle standpoint? Yeah. What's your take on that?
And in my HR days, I used to try and mentor a lot of people because you end up talking to a lot of people who are trying to quit and trying to explain to them, you know, why it's not a good decision. And obviously in these things, you have to get them to the right decision. There's nothing you can do. So I formed a 2x2 matrix. And I said, you know, one is what's good about where you are and what can be better. And equally, what's good about where you're going to go and what can be better. And what I found that most people, when they make the quit decision, they can see only two boxes. They can see what is going to be good where I'm going to go and what is bad about where I am. They're not able to see the other two boxes, which is what is good about where I am and what can be bad about where I'm going to go.
Because they see the green grass on the other side and the brown grass on this side. Not the other
and
side.
The other way around. And hence, I think one of the important ways of what I used to do was to try and get people to see all the four boxes, then make a fair decision. So I think one of the things I encourage people is to make those four boxes and do not under leverage what is good about where you are and do not assume that there will not be bad stuff where you're going to go. Give those equal weightage and then make a holistic decision.
Let me make a slightly related point here. As a prior search consultant at Egon Zehnder, I would often come across situations where the candidate would accept an offer, but the current organization would often make an aggressive counteroffer and the candidate would back off. Just a word of caution in these situations. It's important to be objective, as Molly says, about the pros and cons in the new place and in the current, and then take the call. It's also important not to get swayed by the enhanced warmth that you might perceive once your current organization gets to know that you're leaving. That warm, fuzzy feeling is often short-lived. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of content that's covered, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from my various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines, from people such as Zia Modi, Nanda Nilekani, Vishy Anand, Vijay Amritraj, Amish Tripathi, Vinita Bali and the like. For more, please visit playtopotential.com, where the content is organized by nuggets and tagged by themes so that you could get multiple perspectives on a topic that you care about. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, or any of the other podcast apps out there. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes and rate and review the show. It will help others discover it.